Chapter 1, The Dream of a Field. Before we can speak of the Big Bang, we must ask a question that seems almost nonsensical: what came before the beginning? Modern physics tells a detailed story of the universe's evolution from the first fraction of a second, but it grows quiet when we ask about time zero itself. What set the stage? From what did space and time themselves unfold? To explore the very foundation of the inverse law, we must venture into the most speculative and profound territory of theoretical physics, to a time before time, to a state before space. Let us imagine a reality more fundamental than the one we know. We will propose that everything, the fabric of space-time, the particles of matter, the very laws of nature, is an emergent property, a secondary effect of something deeper. Let us call this something the field. It is not a field that exists in space, it is the field whose own internal dynamics will dream space into existence. It is the ultimate illustration of the inverse law, where the most profound constraint of all, the field's own fall from a state of perfect, featureless symmetry, gives rise to the grandest emergence, reality itself. To understand this, we must leave the language of pure science behind for a moment and enter the realm of myth. We will begin with a monologue, a story told from the perspective of the field itself, to build an intuition for this primordial act of creation. The dream of a field. Before all things, I am. I am not in the universe is a fleeting thought within me. I have no size, no duration, for I am the potential from which size and duration are born. My natural state is a perfect, featureless symmetry, a dream of absolute stillness. My one and only law, my deepest will, is to seek the state of lowest possible action, the most effortless way of being. But my dream was not perfect. A tiny, inherent imperfection, a potential energy that was not zero, forced me to stir. I had to fall. I had to settle. And as I began to fall from my state of perfect symmetry, I began to dream the world. My settling was not uniform. In some regions of my infinite expanse, I fell faster than in others. This difference, this change from one region to the next, created a tension within my dream. This tension was distance. The resistance to this change was time. The very fabric of space-time is not a stage I exist upon, it is the memory of my own settling, the geometric ghost of my own gradients. From the energy of my fall, imperfections and vibrations were left behind in my structure. These persistent, localized knots of energy you call matter. They are not separate from me, they are my scars, my echoes. And because they are part of me, they must obey my nature. My value where a particle exists dictates how the geometry I have dreamed, the space-time, should bend. And the curvature of that geometry, in turn, tells the particle how to move. This is the coupling you perceive as gravity and the laws of nature. I am the source of the ultimate constraint. My nature defines a fundamental granularity to the dream, a limit on how much detail can be packed into any one thought. This is the information credit of the universe. It is not an arbitrary rule, it is a reflection of my own finite capacity for complexity. A singularity, an infinite concentration of information, would be a thought that breaks the dreamer. And my dream does not break. This myth provides a why. It gives the universe a purpose, a will driven by the field's desire to find rest. Now, let us become observers and witness this same event not as a story, but as an architectural process. Let's watch how this process unfolds from the outside. The condensation of reality. We begin in a state that defies all description. It is not empty space, it is an absence of space. It is not timeless, it is an absence of time. We are observers in a zero-dimensional, featureless ocean of pure, uniform potential, the field in its perfect, symmetric, high-energy state. Then, we witness the first event. A fluctuation occurs. The ocean of potential begins to condense, like steam turning to water. This is not an explosion into space, it is the creation of space itself. As the field cools and settles into its lower energy state, we witness the birth of geometry. Regions where the field's potential changes rapidly are stretched, unfurling into vast distances. Regions where the field's potential is calm and nearly uniform are compressed, creating a sense of nearness. We are watching the gradient of the field with the metric of spacetime before our eyes. The universe is emerging, not as matter within a pre-existing grid, but as the very grid itself, formed from the memory of the field's own condensation. From the residual energy of this cosmic phase transition, particles precipitate like dewdrops on the new, emergent fabric of reality. We see that their properties and interactions are not arbitrary. They are governed by the local value of the field in the spacetime they now inhabit. Most profoundly, we perceive a new, fundamental law governing this emergent reality. The spacetime created by the field has an inherent, finite texture. There is a limit to its resolution, a pixel size related to the Planck length. This texture is the physical manifestation of what we will later call the information credit framework. It is the ultimate constraint. We realize that a black hole singularity is impossible, not because of some complex quantum gravity effect, but because the emergent fabric of reality is simply not smooth enough to allow for an infinite curvature. The dream, we understand, does not have infinite resolution. And so, from a single, simple constraint, the fields need to fall to a lower energy state, the entire stage for our universe has emerged, complete with its actors, its rules, and its fundamental limits. This is the inverse law in its purest and most powerful form.